Digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg is off this week, but Andy Anatko is on, technology journalist. He has been the Sun-Times tech columnist and a MacWord columnist for a long time. And Andy, you're just the man we need because we're all trying to make our old phones last longer, and there are some tricks, aren't there?
There are a few. Apple and Samsung and the rest, they try to convince you that, oh, my goodness, you're not using, like, the 2020 phone. It's, that's just so Trump administration. Goodness gracious. There are ways you can extend the life of your phone. The Wall Street Journal had a good article just a few days ago about it that has a bunch of, like, simple common sense stuff about it. First of all, just be aware that every year there's usually a major update for Android and the iPhone, which means that every year an older class of phones is going to be left behind because they're going to be releasing new apps and new operating systems that won't run with the old stuff. Apple's iPhones are really, really great in that regard. The iPhone 6 still runs the very latest operating system. They're now on the iPhone 13. But in September or October, actually more likely September, when they release the new phone, if you have an iPhone 6, you'll still be able to use it, but you won't be able to use, like, the most modern features, like the brand new version of iMessage that's coming out. That's not going to run in the iPhone 6. So it's not as though these older phones are going to be dead, but you're going to lose out on a lot of the stuff that's going to make an iPhone an iPhone, or an Android phone an Android phone. But in terms of keeping the thing healthy, it really is all about keeping the battery healthy. Number one is don't drop it into the toilet, you know. But after that, because the battery is the first thing to go. It is an item that tends to get weaker and weaker as time goes by. The more times you charge it and discharge it, so oftentimes, if you think that, oh my God, this is just this phone is just not, it's not as fun to use as it was 3 or 4 years ago when I got it. Actually, if you actually just replace the battery, if you take it to a shop that does battery replacements, or if you've got an iPhone, take it right to the Apple Store. They will do a battery swap while you wait for a very small amount of money. You will now get a fresh battery that will now get you back to that day and a half, 2 days, 3 days of charge, no problem. The other thing that people find out, that weirdly enough, Apple and Android, they're aware that the amount of current that the CPU uses will, of course, limit the life of the battery. So it knows that it can tell how many times the battery has been charged and recharged. So it knows that, gosh, if this person has an old battery, it's not going to be able to power the CPU to its full potential. So I'm going to help out the user to extend battery life by slowing down the phone a little bit. It's actually pro user. It's not trying to slow it down to make it unusable, but it really is trying to give you more battery life. So a lot of people find that when they buy a new battery, when they have the battery replaced, it actually leads to a faster phone. That's just one of a few things you can do to sort of forestall buying a new phone for another year or two.
Hold on a second here, Andy. A couple of things quickly. First, tell us what CPU is. And also, they used to tell us to wait until the battery runs way down before charging it. Is that still the case?
No, that was the case with the older battery technology. The lithium ion batteries that are in modern phones, they don't like to be charged up to 100%. They don't like to be discharged all the way down to zero. Now, there's really sophisticated circuitry inside the charging circuitry inside the phone that prevents an overcharge or an undercharge. But nonetheless, if you're the sort of person who charges the phone overnight, that can limit the life of the battery a little bit, because again, it's basically overcharging the battery just a little bit. So it's probably better just to pop it on the charger. A modern phone can charge up in about an hour or so. Don't leave it on the charger all the time, and don't be afraid to pop it on the charger when it gets up to 80%. Don't try to get that last few electrons out of the battery before you put it on the charger, because that will limit the life of the battery. It's not a safety issue, but it will over time mean that your battery will last another 6 months to 8 months.
And CPU, what's that? You mentioned that.
Oh, sorry. That's the CPU is the central processing unit. it's the chip that does all the actual heavy lifting. On a phone, most of the operating system's work is just to make sure, just to try to get that, get the CPU not to work as much as it possibly can, because that's the stuff that draws all the battery. That's the stuff that generates heat. And really, if it keep that thing dormant as much as possible, and if it can keep background apps from waking up to report on your location and your marketing habits as frequently as possible, then that will again cause the battery to last a lot longer than it might have otherwise.
And aren't you supposed to charge overnight though? For purposes of backup to the cloud? No?
So there are a lot of updates and system updates that only happen when the thing is plugged into a wall outlet to make sure that it won't like lose battery while it's applying an important update. If that were to happen, then that could cause the phone to just like stop working completely because the software will just get totally borked and just won't work anymore. But no, there's no advantage to keeping it charging overnight that exceeds the extension of the life of the battery that will happen if you just again pop it on, pop it off, try not to keep it charged on charge as much as possible. That actually, we're talking about phones here, but that also includes your laptop. I'm sitting here in front of a desktop that has my MacBook Pro that I bought last year. That's actually the most powerful computer in my office, so I tend to keep it like as my main computer here at the desk. But I make sure that at night I unplug it from the charger and just actually use it in the living room, because were I to keep it plugged into the wall all the time, it wouldn't damage the computer. It would still work just fine, but I would find that I might need to replace the battery like a year earlier than I would if I made sure that that battery gets discharged down to about 20%, 10%, and then charged up to 80 to 90%, as opposed to always keep it charging as much as possible.
We're talking with technology journalist and a podcast regular, Andy Iannotko. Andy, before we move on, one more thing I wanted to ask you about phones. Should you restart your phone every other day? A lot of people use that guideline.
Yeah, that's another pretty good tip, because a lot of the apps that you're running, they're not really efficient. They're supposed to like remove all the data that they don't need anymore to free up space, and the free space on your phone is necessary to keep things performing as fast as possible. And restarting your phone every couple of days can be very, very good. Another good thing is to remove any apps that you're just not using anymore. Apple's iPhone OS does that for you automatically, but Android doesn't quite do that for you. I'll go one step further than that. I try to do a spring cleaning every single year of my tech, and that includes actually resetting my phone to factory settings once a year, and then simply reinstalling all my data, resyncing everything from the cloud, and then I only reinstall the apps that I actually use as I need them. That will get rid of all the clutter, like all the cobwebs. I'm speaking metaphorically about cobwebs, but that's almost literally true. All these little pieces of data that get abandoned and left behind, they actually slow down your phone. And also, I find that I'll have like 40% of the apps on my phone. It's like something I installed once to try for a little bit and then forgot about, but now that's still taking up space. Mm-hmm. It still might be running in the background. So yeah, that is a big, big performance enhancement.
Good advice. All right, now do you want to share your secret for reviving ancient computers?
Yes. It's kind of a damn shame, because oftentimes we have like computers in the closet, or if you're a school or a company, you might have like a storehouse full of these old computers that still work great, but they're old enough that when you try to run modern software on it, including the latest version of Windows, including the latest version of the Mac OS, it just doesn't perform really, really well at all. It's a pain in the butt to use. And sometimes they're so old that Apple and Microsoft, they're not even supporting it anymore. So you can't even get new versions of the operating systems. So Google has come up with something really, really cool. It's a version of the operating system that they put onto Chromebooks. You know, those really inexpensive $200-$400 little notebooks that they're popular in schools. They're popular like as a second or third computer inside the house. But now you can download this free version of Chrome OS that is designed to be installed on older Windows machines, older Macs, pretty much anything you want, and it will turn it into a absolutely 100% modern, up-to-date, and up-to-date with security features as well, version of a Chrome OS computer. Now, this is Chrome OS isn't like Windows. It's not like Mac OS. You're not like downloading apps and running apps. at the simple way of explaining Chrome OS is that it's a computer that does nothing but run the Chrome operating system, but the Chrome web browser. But you think about how much time you spend inside web browsers. I do most of my online banking through a web browser. I do most of my mail through a web browser. All the sort of stuff I don't have to actually install an app for. And you find I bought this laptop at a flea market 2 or 3 years ago for $10, intending to take it apart and use the screen for one thing, use its other parts for other things. And just by installing this free version of Chrome OS, it's now like a permanent residency on my nightstand, because it's a perfectly modern, fast, functional, and useful computer again. And this is something that otherwise would have been tossed in a landfill. So if you just do a Google search for Chrome OS Flex, CHR, the word Chrome OS and then the word Flex, FLEX after it, it'll take you to the download link for it. And so you just download this thing, put it on a USB thumb drive, then you just reboot your computer off of this thumb drive. You can test drive it without changing anything on your computer at all. And if you do like it, you can have it installed permanently. It'll take the place of all the data and all the apps and the operating system that's on there already. But again, that's no great loss, because hey, it's already just gathering dust inside out of closet. Restore it to its former glory, like baseball teams that you've given up on. They're still good.
I love the idea of Mr. Big Time Tech author Andy Anatko shopping for computers at a flea market. And
I should mention, this is the Massachusetts Institute of Technology flea market that's held once a month.
Oh, okay.
It's a freaky fabulous scene, yeah, man. It's exactly what you imagine it to be.
Yeah, that's gotta be. Gotta get the MIT flea market on my list of things to do on the bucket list. Andy, thank you, and it's always interesting and informative to chat with you. Have a good day.
Same here, guys. Bye-bye.